The title of the sermon is Victory in the Valley. Victory in the Valley. It's from Psalm 23. It's the King James Version. And we know this passage. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm going to read that again. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, this passage describes a valley, and not just, you know, this specific kind of valley. It's a valley of the shadow of death where there is evil, you know. It's not just walking, you know, in the valley of difficulty. There is a valley of difficulty, you know, that we're all walking through because of the pandemic, and it is difficult. But while we are going through this pandemic together, there's a valley. This passage talks about the shadow of death. And what that is a spiritual battle that we face daily. It's the spiritual battle that we face daily. You know, Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 4, it says, the Spirit clearly says that in the later time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And I believe we are in that later time, right? We're in that later time. More and more people are believing in lies. Right? And the most popular books and movie among the young people are about witchcraft, mythology, and demons. More and more people are struggling with depression, hopelessness, and they're starting to hear voices. Yes, it can be a chemical imbalance, and medicine can suppress some of the horrible nightmare, the irrational fear, the crazy eternal voice, the foul thoughts. But that is not the complete picture. As believers, we also know there is an evil. There is evil. There is an unseen spiritual realm. The church is called not to fight one another, but to fight the good fight. Victory, and not just in the valley, but victory in the valley of the shadow of death where there is evil. You know, church, during this time of isolation, during this crisis, during this pandemic, you and I will be spiritually attacked. This spiritual battle is unseen. This spiritual battle is internal. It happens in our mind. It will attack our emotion. It happens in our heart. The spiritual battle is not the outward manifestation, people foaming in the mouth, coughing uncontrollably, speaking in different screaming voices. Primarily, spiritual battle happens in our mind, in our heart. It's internal. And Apostle Paul challenged us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Paul says, don't focus on what you can see, but what you cannot see. We need to know how to operate in the spiritual realm. We need to be victorious during the valley of this COVID-19, but we also need to be victorious in the valley of spiritual battle in the shadow of death. You see, Jesus, the deliverance ministry is very important in the ministry of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus casts out an evil spirit in a man in a synagogue. And casting out demon is a demonstration of the gospel. The word deliverance in Greek means to be saved, to be saved. Jesus saves you and me. Also, Jesus delivers you and me. The gospel is the demonstration of the work of God, demonstration of freedom, demonstration of salvation. It's a demonstration of victory. You know, spiritual attacks in Mark 1, it happened in the synagogue. This means we as believers are not immune to spiritual attacks. You will walk in the valley of the shadow of death, but need to remember what the psalmist said. But I will fear no evil. Not just the difficulty, but I will fear no evil. Why? The Lord is with me. Jesus has overcome the devil. What does that mean for us? And I have 2 points for this message. First point is that we have Jesus' authority. And if you could just, you know, speak that out in your apartment, in your room. I have Jesus' authority. And there's a passage in Mark 11, and we need to practice this passage, this authority that we have in Jesus. It says, if you have faith, you can say to the mountain to move, and it will move. If you have faith, you can say to the mountain to move, and it will move. See, Jesus Christ has already defeated the devil. We have the key to open the door to victory. The Bible describes the devil as a strong man in Luke chapter 11. And to overcome this strong man, someone stronger needs to attack and overpower the strong man. And Jesus, we know this to be true, right? This is the truth. Jesus is stronger than the devil. The work of Jesus on the cross completely defeated the devil. The devil is powerless. His armor is gone. And God gave us this key to victory in the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus said, the gates of hell, this is talking to the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You see, like I used this illustration a long time ago. You know, if you are on the highway 80, Route 80, I mean, Interstate 80, you know, you could try to stop the traffic, but I don't think they will stop. They will just pass by you. But if you have if you're a policeman with authority and you have a officer's uniform and you tell the traffic to stop, the traffic will stop. And I need to remind the church, you are clothed in the authority of Jesus Christ. You are clothed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, when you understand that authority that you have in Christ, you could tell the mountain to move, and the mountain will move. Telling the mountain to move is a prayer of faith. And what another word for that related to this sermon? That prayer of faith, another word is pray with authority that you have in Jesus Christ. You need to pray with authority that you have in Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 33 calls is, you know, it's a call for Ezekiel to be a watchman on the wall. So when the enemy, it's related to spiritual battle, when the enemy approached the city, it was the watchman's responsibility to warn the city by blowing this trumpet. And I believe what we are called to do when we are under spiritual attack, not blow a literal trumpet, but to pray with faith, to pray with this authority that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, we pray for healing. We pray for provision. You know, we pray for success. We pray for jobs. We pray for promotions. But I want to call the church to be a watchman on the wall, to be the watchman, especially during this time, to be the watchman on the wall. Do you see not just, you know, how much food is in the refrigerator, or what's going on in, you know, in the government, and what's going on, you know, what you could see, right? To be a watchman on the wall, do you see the enemy infiltrating your heart and your mind? We need to blow the trumpet on the enemy of our heart. There is a demonic attack to harass, to lie, to discourage us. We need to be that watchman on the wall. We need to pray with authority. We need to blow that trumpet. Watchman on the wall, do you see? This is what I'm calling Catalyst. You are the watchman on the wall. Do you see the demonic attack on your family? The generational sin, the alcoholism, the families being split up, the rejection in the family, the abandonment, the abuse, the conflict, the division, the fatherlessness, the orphan spirit. watchman on the wall, do you see it? Then we need to pray with authority. We need to blow that trumpet. Watchman on the wall, do you see the demonic attack on the church? The legalism, the spiritual, the religious spirit, the division, the control, the self-righteousness. I'm calling the church to be that watchman on the wall. We need to pray with faith. Watchman on the wall, do you see this is the last days? There's a dark shadow covering this nation. The demonic is stealing the hearts and the mind of this nation. We need to be the watchman on the wall. We need to not just pray for provision. We need to do the spiritual warfare prayer. We need to blow the trumpet, waking up the nation. You know, GA, if you could just play some background music. I got 2 points to this sermon, but I want us to do that right now, to be that watchman. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Yes, we need to pray for healing. We need to pray for provision. But I'm calling this church today to be the watchman on the wall. There's a harassing spirit coming upon some of our people. Do you know who you are in Christ? You have Christ's authority. You don't have to be harassed anymore. You tell it to move, and it will move. Do you have that kind of faith? Prayer. Can you pray with that kind of authority that you have in Christ Jesus? Tell that harassing spirit to move. This morning, I got this conviction. You know, I was reading a story about a certain fish, you know, in a tank. And in the middle of the tank, they put this clear glass. Not see. The fish would hit that glass again and again and again. And they just left it there, you know. And then after a while, they removed the glass. But that fish would never swim to the other side. There's a spiritual barrier that the enemy has put that we keep hitting again and again and again. The middle of the tank, so that our territory is so limited, our spiritual territory is so limited. We will hit that glass again and again, you know, but you see, what Jesus did was remove that glass. We have this authority, but we don't use that authority. We're like that fish, you know, we got hurt so much, we hit it again, you know, before. We're only going to attempt to gain back the territory that's ours. We never swim to the other side. We have this certain glass wall in our life. There's a stronghold. There's this pattern, dysfunction. And I want to speak to the church this truth. The glass wall is lifted. That glass wall is lifted. You don't have to live in a little pattern of failure. I'm calling the church to rise up in faith and in authority, believe that that wall is broken in Christ. That wall is broken in Christ. Broken, but we need to be courageous and take back that territory that was stolen. It is ours. It doesn't belong to the devil anymore. Pray in authority that we have in Jesus. All the lying spirit, lift off catalyst right now. growth catalyst. All the harassing spirit, the spirit of depression, the spirit of fear. Pray as a church. There's going to be a shifting in the spiritual atmosphere. Netflix movie is not going to lift that spirit of fear. We coming together like this for worship, and we're joining our heart in prayer, telling that mountain to move, and the mountain will move. The mountain will move. That glass wall of old issues is lifted. Lift it from your heart and from your mind because of the work of Jesus Christ. Pray in faith. Pray with you before you. Tell that mountain to move, church. Tell that mountain to move. And believe that glass wall is gone. It's broken. It's lifted. Any evil in our heart, in our home, break its power in Jesus' name. It's broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The second point, the first point is we have Jesus' authority. We have Jesus' authority. But second point, we are called to repentance. We are called to repentance. And this conviction I got from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, God says this, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, the first point was we pray with authority, and that's the first part of this passage. It says, if my people who are called by my name, who are called by my name, we pray with authority. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. This passage calls us to another kind of prayer. It says, who humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Another word, in my opinion, is it's a call to repentance. It's a call for prayer of repentance. Not just pray with authority, but prayer of repentance. And then there's this promise. When we pray with authority and when we pray in repentance, God says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. See, biblical repentance is not just feeling bad for our sin. It's not just confession. Repentance is turning around, letting go of the old and turning to the new, letting go of the lies of the devil and embracing the truth of God. Repentance is having Jesus be the true king of our life. Sin is not your master. All of us have this experience where sin controls us, where sin, you know, has territory of our heart, where sin tempts us and make us fall. But in Christ, sin is not your master. You're turning away from sin. This is repentance and turning to the new life that's in Christ Jesus. You know, when sin is your master, this is what's going to happen. You know, open your spiritual eyes. See what sin does to us. Sin does to you. Sin does to the church. It brings shame. It brings rejection, abandonment, abuse. Sin causes insecurity, confusion, and harassment. Sin brings bondage, spiritual attack. There's addiction. Sin brings brokenness, division, and conflict. Sin ultimately brings death. But in Christ, this is letting go of the old, the sin. Repentance is not just feeling bad, but turning around and taking hold of what Christ has for us. In Christ, there's forgiveness, there's redemption, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's new life in Christ. You know, if you look at the gospel, the book of Matthew, Luke, and Mark, it's showing the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And in the beginning of those books, those three books talk about repentance. But what's interesting is the book of John doesn't talk about repentance. Instead, it talks about being born again. You know, we think repentance is just feeling bad, feeling remorse, you know, and that's not repentance. In the book of John, it's talking about being born again. What I believe the book of John is saying, repentance is not just turning away from sin, but it's a new life. It's a new beginning. It's being born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, unless you are born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So what is biblical repentance? Biblical repentance, more than just changing the way one thinks, more than keeping some rules and rituals and laws. Rather, the biblical repentance talks about a whole new beginning, a new life. You are born again. You are born again. Meaning, the cycle of sin stops. There's healing and deliverance and transformation. There's a new life. You are born again. And this is, you know, the devil lies to us saying, no, you know, you are the old. But the Bible says the old is gone. Believe this with me, church. The old is gone. The new is here. You are born again. You are not just a church attender. Not just, you know, coming together, a meeting. Church, you are born from above. You are born again. And so I want us to take some time now again, second time, to go into some ministry time. Have hope that this confidence, this faith, I'm going to live this new life. I'm going to walk in this new life. If you don't get there, if you can't take hold of that, it's not true repentance. Judas just felt bad for what he did. That wasn't repentance. The other apostles, disciples, even though they made mistakes, even though they failed, even though they ran away when Jesus was born, they took hold of the new, the Holy Spirit work in them. And there was a new life. There was this transformation. Instead of listening to the lies, renounce the work of the devil in your life. renounce all the ways of the devil that's going on right now in your mind, in your emotion, in your heart. And use the authority that Jesus Christ has given to you to break every agreement, attachment, influence, and control that unknowingly you gave to the devil. Break all the agreement, attachment, influence, and control of the evil one. But we're not going to just stop there with authority breaking it. We're going to repent. We're turning to Jesus. But when we turn to Jesus, not just confessing, can you receive this new life? Can you receive this new life that we have in Christ Jesus? Receive the Holy Spirit joy, the Holy Spirit peace. Receive the goodness of God. Receive the work of Jesus Christ. What we already have because we're born again. Jesus, remove any agreement, attachment, influence, and control of the devil. Jesus, remove every evil assignment, evil voice, evil thoughts, and evil lies from us. Jesus, remove all demonic power during this time of crisis, during this time of difficulty. Repentance means walking in the new life that God has for you. Not just being born again, but living the born again life. God gives that to us. All that hopeless thought. All that evil, the work of the evil one. That power is broken over Catalyst Church, over the members. And we're repenting that the what we already have in our heart, that Jesus gives to us, this new life, be released in Jesus Christ. Release over the church in our heart. Release. Yes, God. That old thought, you know, the conviction I got, there's some people here, you're just beating yourself up with those old thoughts. And I want to remind you, as your pastor, it's not just you. There's an evil influence in that thought. There's an evil influence. Just beating yourself is not going to take care of. Or set you free. We'll give you new thoughts. What I'm challenging you to do is take the authority, believe and have faith in the authority that Jesus gives you. And be in that position. Just humble yourself. Not to get beat up and to be shamed. Humble yourself that God could renew you. That's the best reason to humble yourself so that the Lord could heal, so that he could give you a new life. Humble yourself. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, it's a lie when the devil says, you know, this sin, you know, it has more power over you. You will be so miserable without it. It's a lie. It's a lie. God offers you, wants to give to you freedom, a new life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, a purpose and a destiny. Not to harm you. It's the devil who's trying to harm you. Refuse to listen to the devil anymore. Refuse to listen to the devil and his lies. For somebody here, you need to know the goodness of God. That he is good. From your heart, you just need to speak that out. And something's going to lift from you. This evil presence is going to lift from you. Just speak that out. God, Lord, Jesus, my Messiah, is good. He is good.